Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
So we'd like to welcome Kelechi Ekwonwa to the podcast. Kelechi, nice to have you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Robert. I'm happy to be here.
Great.
Hello, thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Kelechi. So Kelechi, let's get started by introducing you to the audience. And I'd like to do so by sharing some of your academic path. So please take it away.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Robert, for this opportunity to interact with you and, of course, your audience. My name is Kelechi Kenneth Ekwonwa. I'm a biomedical laboratory scientist. I had my first degree in biomedical laboratory sciences in University of Nigeria. And after that, I actually moved over to have a series of certificate degrees and certifications in leadership and management. And of course, when I actually realized that there is a need for me to have a more impact in the medical devices industry, so that was how I started, you know, moving over to train more in artificial intelligence and machine learning, so as to understand how we could use, artificial intelligence, adapting it in the medical device world to help Nigeria, you know, leapfrog in our healthcare industry. That's a short piece of my summary. Maybe Great. As we discuss along, we'll be able to actually go into details of each and every one of them.
Sure, definitely. And so from a perspective of your various leadership and management certificates, we're familiar with a lot of those. I think that people take advantage of. So it's congratulations for you to taking advantage of those. I understand you're working on a postgraduate diploma in particular. Can you speak to us about that a little bit?
Okay, good. The postgraduate diploma I'm actually running is actually on two fronts. There is one in artificial intelligence for leaders, and of course, change management in healthcare industry. So let me take on the artificial intelligence for leaders. It is important very well today in our world. We know that the machine and the computer will eventually take over a lot of our activities in the world. And we need to actually, you know, get prepared and get ahead of the schedule to ensure that you are relevant in that world. My postgraduate diploma in change management, I know that for Nigeria to be better, especially in the healthcare industry, we need to have a rethinking of the way we actually manage our healthcare systems. We need to, in order to catch up with the first world, we need to start doing something differently than what we are currently doing. So in order to also keep abreast of that, I have to also take up that training to help me and equip me to be able to be relevant in our changing world in Nigeria.
And thank so you. Where are you doing those postgraduate diplomas, Kelechi?
Okay, good. For artificial intelligence for leaders, I'm actually doing it with Great Learning, which is a faculty in University of Austin, Texas. And the postgraduate diploma in change management, I'm actually currently running it in University of Lagos, Nigeria.
Great, okay. So Kelechi, let's just have a discussion about your professional career, your professional journey. So certainly from the time you graduated, you probably had multiple different positions and different roles. Can you describe that path to us, please?
Okay. When I actually graduated from my degree course in biomedical laboratory science, in fact, at that point, it was a bit of a confusion because time, I didn't have a mentor to actually guide me properly. So it was a bit of trying to find my feet and also find how I can also direct my career. Now, but I was actually lucky to meet very important personalities along the way. People like Dr. Onyagala, who actually played a tremendous role in my career development, trying to give me an understanding that, look, you could do much more than being on the bench. So with that, guidance, I was a bit focused, but my progression actually started with working in lab benches that actually cut across the chemistry, the immunoassay, the hematology bench, the microbiology bench, you know, and trying to understand and apply my analytical skills in producing quality and timely results to ensure that patient treatment and care is actually done in a safe manner. Now, along the way, I was actually given an opportunity by, investors in the healthcare industry to be able to, manage the lab. Even when I was unprepared, I think I could remember a particular case in Afri Global Medicare. I was not actually employed as the lab manager. However, the lab manager at the time had to move on in pursuit of his career. And the investor came in one day and said, Kelechi, I have seen that you have a never-dying spirit of pursuit of excellence, and I've seen that you have an open mind, and you tried all possibilities, and you are very objective in how you analyze issues, that they will give me 6 months for me to prove if I can handle a lab management role at Afri Global Medicare. So that was the first time, that was the time I actually I sort of professionally handled the lab management role. So it was at that point, it was a switch from working on the bench to managing teams that are working on the bench. But also, let me also point out that like 3 years before then, I briefly served as assistant laboratory manager at some hospitals, especially at John Kent Hospital. I served briefly as assistant general manager then for like a month and a half. So I was able to, gather a bit of the experience from there. But professionally, switching from bench work to laboratory management actually happened at Afri Global Medicare. And ever since then, I've been learning and trying to grow to ensure that we can improve our system to encourage those that are actually working on the bench, because of course I've been through that route, so I understand how it works and how it feels to be at that point. So I was able to also engage with them and lead them by getting the job done. I wasn't actually leading at that time or managing the team by sitting in the office and directing them on what to do and all that. No, I get my hands dirty with them and, working along with them. And of course, we work as a very wonderful team right from there. Now, so the progression to laboratory management was very good. And then up until a time when it becomes necessary for me to consider, a possible career switch again to see if I can handle higher challenges that will help me to influence and impact healthcare on a much larger scale. In fact, that was the reason why I actually switched from diagnostics, core diagnostics, to medical devices, and here I am today.
Great. So Kelechi, just help us bridge the gap then. So from working at Afri Global, did you have any other steps before you entered into the IVD manufacturer space?
Okay, from working, thank you for that. From working from Afri Global, I was able to, you know, I started taking interest in assisting investors to set up laboratories. So I was able to set up two different laboratories right from Afri Global Medicare. One is WellMed Healthcare Laboratory, which I actually I consulted in setting up the lab. I also consulted in setting up a Precare Diagnostic Center in Lagos. With that interest, you know, I started seeing, you know, of course, in setting up laboratories, you will have to actually work with medical devices company. You work with quality assessors. You work with the regulatory agencies. You work with, other medical laboratory scientists, also interacting with them and to ensure that, you know, you can get the best outcome for the investor. And of course, for the patients who will eventually access those services. So it was a journey. So right from Afri Global, I was able to set up those two laboratories. After setting up a WellMed healthcare laboratory, the investors actually came together and, you know, decided that, who best to manage the center except the young man that actually set up the lab. So they contacted me and we agreed on terms. So I actually took over the role of, management of the lab. I ran the lab for 2 years, you know, where I was able to grow the team from two medical laboratory scientists strength to about 7 medical laboratory scientists before I actually moved on. So before I eventually moved on from WellMed, I was able to set up a very proper, robust system, you know, because that's what I usually do. I do not, appreciate the to move on from a role without ensuring that you, you know, do provide a great system in place to ensure that your exit will not actually negatively impact on a system. So I was to raise the system, raise the people, and of course, set up the systems and processes in place to ensure that the lab actually runs professionally. So that it was actually at WellMed Healthcare that I was approached by Mindre, which is a medical devices company. I've had a huge experience and, you know, relevant cognitive experience in medical devices operations. So they started actually talking to me about a possible role in managing the application services and eventually leading up to product management for Andre, responsible for Nigeria and Ghana market. So that's a short explanation on that.
Sure. So from Mindray, what were your next steps?
Okay, from Mindray, let me also explain the journey in Mindray, because the journey in Mindray actually started from managing the application services, clinical application for all their products in Nigeria and Ghana market. So in that role, I was actually involved in engaging with the end user, like the med lab scientists, the pathologists, the doctors that actually use those medical devices to troubleshoot them whenever they run into problems, or to assist them in calibration activities or their quality control, troubleshooting and support. So it was a vast experience, and it was able to build me up to also understand how to positively engage with the technical team to ensure that we can actually drive them towards the outcome of this organization, and of course for the organization or the brand I actually represent. So where eventually an opportunity of role came out in the marketing department in Mindray to handle and manage the product launches, the product, categorization or segmentation based on regional needs. So when that actually came up, my role was actually redesigned as a product, management specialist, where of course I still combine those roles as application support, but mostly my role now moved over to mainly, training of the channel partners, the training of the channel partners staff, and training the end users on the best use of our products, and of course the unique technology and innovations inherent in our products so that they can better maximize those products. So I handled the role of that product management specialist for some time. However, in the course of the job activities, I started noticing, a gradual, advent of, product automation, product full automation in medical devices application. So I started also, that was a point when I actually made up my mind to actually, research more in artificial intelligence and machine learning, of course, and its application in medical devices. So I was able to, discover that this is going to be a real game changer in ensuring that we, reduce to a minimum human interference in the testing processes in those medical devices. So while I was actually doing that, and of course engaging with the customers, I was also approached by Beckman Coulter. And of course, I had to research about Beckman Coulter. I found that they are one of the leading, trailblazers in the area of autonomous medical devices. So I was able to, first of all, I observed that they have, a book they call DXA 5000 feet, which is a complete automation system that take care of the pre and post analytical step in a typical diagnostic labs. That is to say, no human interference in proper labeling of sample, categorization of those samples, and of course, ensuring that the right specimen is actually selected for the right analyzer or the medical device to process the test. So it was a bit fascinating at that point. So we actually opened the conversation. So I actually started a conversation with him, and here I am. Eventually, we agreed on terms. So now when it came to the role in Beckman Coulter, I now thought about, okay, what will be, because at that time when I had the conversation with the Beckman Coulter, market share in Nigeria is actually, is actually less than 5%. So you know the brand awareness is not there, the brand visibility is not there, despite the fact it's one of the best brands in the world. In fact, you could see their products in big lab, high-end laboratories like Synlab, Siba Lancet group, labs like Mecure. But, it is not found in the mainstream medium and low scale laboratories, which occupy upwards of about 90% of the, laboratory segment we have in Nigerian market. I started thinking, so that's how I was able to reach up and a decision that, look, how you can have more influences to handle a role in commercial business management so that you be able to combine the role of sales, marketing, and of course application specialization to create a system of brand awareness, ensuring that we actually organize regular technical webinars to introduce the pathologists, the biomedical laboratory scientists to the innovative technology inherent in Beckman Coulter at the time. The role that we eventually agreed with the Beckman Coulter team. So I actually function as a commercial business anchor, handling sales, marketing, and application support for Beckman Coulter in Nigeria. Now, I had three major tasks to actually accomplish. One is to segment the market, to properly identify the area of needs to quickly fix and improve for Beckman Coulter brand awareness. Then the second point was actually to start a very heavy discussion on channel partnership build-up for the team, for Beckman Coulter. Then the third task that I set out for myself actually is to ensure that I share this innovative technology to as many people as possible in Nigeria medical diagnostic because awareness is the first step to changing the healthcare system in Nigeria. Thank you.
Certainly. And so, Kelechi, please help us understand a little bit in terms of the device applications that you're currently working with. So I believe you had mentioned, I don't want to get the wrong name in terms of the product that you had specifically mentioned from Beckman Coulter, but can you describe to us the types of tests in particular for which the devices you're currently working on getting into the market? What test coverage do they have?
Okay, great. Okay, the broad range of products I actually currently handle under Beckman Coulter cuts across chemistry, all medical diagnostics products of Beckman that covers clinical chemistry, hematology, immunoassay, and medical microbiology. Now, in handling and managing the application, the application support there will actually mean assisting the end users in troubleshooting support, especially in patient results that are out, that do not reflect the clinical findings of the requesting physician, or troubleshooting control outliers, or troubleshooting calibration failures that are being experienced by the end users, or even, of course, troubleshooting the red flags that are usually being indicated, or what we call the error flags that may come up, and assessing its impact on patient safety. Because, we take this patient safety very seriously, and that's the major essence of the application support, to ensure that the generated patient result and the reported patient report results reflect the true situation in the respective patient concerned. Because it will be a huge disaster for the patient if we do not take care to ensure that the results are accurate, reproducible, and for the right individual delivered at the right time. So that's the whole essence of ensuring application support all the way.
So Kelechi, also, can we just then have a brief discussion about what you have seen, so between your time on the bench, between your time managing labs and setting up labs, as well as now with the manufacturers themselves, can you help us understand some of the, what you see as the trends for the future, where you see device production going, where you see device advancements coming from? You had mentioned sort of end-to-end automation in some other areas, but just curious for you to share that with our audience, please.
Good. Great. This is a very important question. Thank you very much for that. Let me start from the fact that, when I was in school, when I was actually training to become a qualified biomedical laboratory scientist, all the training protocols that were used in training us then were fully manual systems, where you are going to do manual pipetting, you're going to do manual process. So that means human interference or human participation in the process of testing is occupying close to about 60 to 70% of the process that is required in producing a patient's result. Now, over time, we have seen the medical devices technology grow to a point whereby the human participation has currently, you know, dwindled from that 70% to about less than 30% today. All right. And, you know, so the medical devices are playing a bigger role in ensuring quality and reproducible results in that process of patient result testing. Now, where I see the trend going, the trend is actually going in the direction of completely eliminating human participation in that process. Because look, if you actually look at the system, every measurable, majority of the measurable errors that are seen in patient resulting usually emanates from those points of human participation. So the trend is actually going in the direction of minimizing, or at least minimizing, or eventually eliminating those human participation that introduce those error points. So with that, you will see that the error rates in patient result outcome will become almost zero or near zero by the time human participation is actually limited to a very barest minimum or completely eliminated. So I see in the nearest future, completely autonomous labs that actually takes up the process of sample acquisition, pre-analytical testing processes, then analytical testing processes, and then post-analytical testing processes, and ensuring that the result outcome is actually released properly. Now, when you come to the aspect of result release, there's what we call validation processes to ensure that the results are, you know, is qualitative, is reproducible, is accurate for the patient. Now, that part is largely almost 100% done by humans as we speak today. But eventually, the trend is going in the direction of replacing that, or rather moving that 100% participation of human participation to in the neighborhood of less than 30%. This is where we are talking about auto-validation system, that is where the computer and this machine is trained in such a way to recognize the apparently normal patient results without huge risk that are to be released and reported for the patient. Okay. Now, if you now feed it back to the whole eventual process, we are currently having an innovative technology being currently developed about application of artificial intelligence in image recognition, in troubleshooting result variance, in recognizing delta checks in resulting. So when this technology is completely well proven, applied, and of course the system is well trained, tested, and can produce a near 99% accuracy, then you will find out that human participation in result validation and result verification before result release will be almost eliminated. So that is the direction of medical devices. Then the second direction of medical devices is ensuring that we produce miniaturized forms of medical devices that could be used to produce relevant and important patient results that could assist the patient, the doctor, or trusting a physician to take a better decision in treating patients. Now, so I know a lot of researchers are currently, you know, working so hard in that aspect to develop a system that is, foolproof and very robust. So I see the trend going in that aspect. The third trend also I have observed that is actually going to hit the medical devices is actually the trend of non-invasive medical device testing, which currently you see is being observed in the critical care industry today, whereby, for example, you could actually test your pressure, of course, using iPhone just by downloading particular software. You could see that you are not required to tie any, you know, sphygmomanometer by your arm and all that to test your, you know, doctor. So, you know, I see that trend also coming into medical devices where a particular device is actually being worn and it will constantly test for things like blood glucose. That is currently, you could see the rudimentary forms of non-invasive testing that is currently ongoing. For example, like you could see in critical care industry where, you know, you could plug in a device to your thumb or to any of your fingers, it will actually read your pulse rate, you know, read your blood pressure in most cases as well. Also, we know today that on your iPhone, you could download a software, and of course, taking a picture of any of your fingernails, you'll be able to get accurate and reproducible real-time blood pressure. So I strengthen effectively in medical devices industry, whereby non-invasive medical devices will be able to be attached to human body or brought close to the human body to be able to assess in real time different testing parameters that we usually use in the lab. For example, carrying out a real time blood glucose level testing, real time blood cholesterol assessment, which will play a huge role in helping the physician monitor their patient on a real-time basis, and of course help the patient to also, you know the kind of foods and nutritional materials they can also store in their refrigerator. So we are growing in that, that trend is actually coming. So, and I see the future of medical device going that trend. Let me also explain further that what I mean by non-invasive medical devices, it is those medical devices that do not require you to create any pain, any form of pain in accessing blood material or tissue materials to be able to carry out the test. So you are not going to use a syringe, needle to pierce any of the, you know, any of the patient's vein or thereabout. You are not going to use any material to actually cut any part of in the patient's body to be able to access material to do the testing. So with that, you could see that it will actually lead to a better healthcare, and a lot of people that have not been accessing the required testing diagnosis, you know, on time because of fear of those pain, you know, for those category, they will be able to also quickly assess. And I feel also that the healthcare industry will be better for it. So these are the major trends that I'm actually currently seeing in the medical device space.
Thank you for that, Kletcher. I guess the The main challenge, of course, and when I say challenge, I'm not necessarily mean from a level of quality, but I guess one of the challenges ends up existing is what would be the role for the medical lab scientist in the fully automated laboratory, right? So clearly there's the human element to the advancements in AI and ML will have some impact on resourcing or perhaps the role of certain resources. And I'm just curious on your thoughts on that. So from a perspective of an early careerist or someone currently doing their degree right now in medical lab sciences, what's your suggestion to them?
Great question. Because you see, this is actually the major factor that these new trends adoption or research are being delayed, deferred, or not enough investments are going into that space because of fear of what full automation will do in the industry. But I see it differently. If I try to flash back when I was actually getting trained in school, like I said, then we didn't have all these sophisticated automated medical devices, but I see that I am still relevant today. And that medical devices had also made my work more efficient. For instance, at that time when we were training, you could see that in a work day period of, let's say, 8 hours work, you'll be able to process only less than 50 patient sample for urea sample, urea, blood glucose, blood lipid profile. You'll be able to process less than 50 of them. If you are about two scientists working in a particular lab. But today, with the advent of the current state of medical devices, you could see that it has played a huge role. I can, with two medical lab scientists working in a particular lab, you could process more than 300 samples, patient samples, of even more test menu. So that means cutting across chemistry, immunoassay, hematology, microbiology. So you could process more. You could see that the essence of technology is to help the humans to be more efficient, to be more accurate. I can remember, talking about accuracy, I can remember that those times where everything was manual and all that. There's a whole lot of issues with disagreements between the requesting physicians and the lab scientists because of a lot of error rates. But today, those error rates are almost eliminated because that the accuracy has been improved, reproducibility of results also have been improved. In fact, the current error rates we are currently having is being, of course, a lot of documents that that will support this claim that a huge part of the errors you see in a patient result is as a result of human participation in that testing process that I have described earlier. So my advice to upcoming or medical laboratory scientists in training at the moment is please don't be afraid of what the future will hold when the full automation comes in. Rather, the full automation will make your work more easier, will make your work more efficient than what we are currently having. Today, we are talking about I can process, thousands of samples. So you could see that you can, with the help of automated system, you could process millions upon millions of testing results. And these are things that will go on in helping human existence on this planet Earth. And secondly, let me also point automation processes that are being brought into the testing activities will allow humans to focus more on the more important role of patient engagement. For instance, a patient that comes in to run a test, you find out that there is little or no interaction with the patient, You know, we today we work like machines. So what does full automation will help you do? If we take out that, you know, mechanical work system from you and allow you to focus on ensuring that you can have a more human touch to your patients as they come in to assess services. And also, it will also, and I can tell you, there is it will be almost impossible to completely take out human participation in the management of the process of healthcare. Yes, it could remove and eliminate human participation where errors could be spotted. But you and I also know that there are some areas of human participation that do not pose any error risk to patient results. So for those areas, I'm sure that automation will not be able to replace humans in there. And of course, the backers of fully automated system or artificial intelligence participation, their vision is actually, how can we make the system more efficient, eliminate the error, and ensure that humans will be in command and control to ensure the best result outcome for humans, not for machine, right? Not for any other thing, but for ourselves. So I feel that we should embrace it well and get involved so that we can also ensure that the ethical side of full automation, automated system, the ethical side of autonomous testing systems, you know, so that we can have wider participation so that the best decision can be taken either as from a regulatory point of view or from government to the activities of the medical devices manufacturers. So I feel that we should embrace it because it will help our lives much better.
Good. Well, thank you for that opinion, Kelechi. It's valuable to share with the next generation looking at this issue and those who several years from now will be faced with those decisions and kind of encountering it firsthand. So thank you for that.
Okay.
So Kelechi, at this point in the podcast, we generally like to provide our guests a chance to recognize those who helped them get to where they are. So people who've acted as either mentors or additional support at different stages.
Thank you very much for this question. It's a very, very important question. Please let me talk directly to the medical laboratory scientists in training in different schools around the world. Please, mentorship is a very critical part or key factor in your career development and advancement. Please, it is very, very important that, you know, you try to seek out for mentorship. Those who have gone through that field and can assist you so that when they assist you, you will not waste your time in trying things that won't work. They will also guide you to recalibrate your own vision and mission, you know, in terms of your career mission and vision. So it is very, very key. So for me, though when I left school, I didn't have the opportunity of having a career mentor at that time immediately, but at the point I actually had access in Afri Global Medicare. In fact, I was happy that I met people like Dr. Augustine Onyagala, fantastic biomedical laboratory scientist par excellence. That man did a very great job in, you know, redefining how I see my career development. He actually, you know, helped me to decide easily when and how I should actually go further. Now, it is so why I'm also pointing out this, even the schools that the biomedical laboratory science departments and in different universities, there is a huge importance that we should attach to career guidance, career development guidance system that needs to be put in place before the students actually graduate from school, because it will help them to shape how and the direction they are going. So for me, Dr. Augustine Onyagala actually did a good job for me Also, the other person that also did a very great job for me is Professor Agbon Laho, who was a one-time, CEO of, our regulatory agency in Nigeria. So he did a very great job in finding also guiding me or trying to see, help me understand what I need to do in order to actually advance in my career. Now, on the side of business management, I want to appreciate, Chief Dr. Ere. He's a very business manager, a business leader for excellence. He gave me an opportunity to also learn from him about how to manage, run effective business. He gave me great insights on what I need to look at in order to make a particular business idea or business task viable. He was the person who taught me how to do SWOT analysis of your activities before you even start on that. Another person who also had played a huge role in my, career development is and self-awareness is Chief Wisdom Wakamma. He played a very key role in helping me use common sense to understand business. He was the person who told me that, look, the best way to grow your business task for your investors is actually look at two factors, the revenue and your cost of production. Once you're able to manage these two, you are going to ensure that a business success, provided that your business ideas is feasible and has been tested effectively. So you could see that during my career, I've actually had a mixture of both technical, biomedical, technical, and then business managers, business leaders actually help guide me along the way. And also, let me also add another to it, which is very, very important. I have to recognize, Mr. Manish Garg. Because, let me also point out that a huge part of mentorship also is giving you an opportunity to dabble into some things that at times from the start you may not have, but along the way, you will see that it will effectively do what you need to. Right. So I want to appreciate Mr. Mashgad for, without even knowing my strength, without even being sure that I can handle the role, he actually threw me into the mix of working with huge, very established business managers, very established pathologists, very established, biomedical laboratory scientists. As a young person, I was actually, working with them then as a laboratory manager. So it gave me an opportunity also to reshape my career development. So I want to appreciate him also. So I want to also encourage the listeners, please try as much as possible to seek out for mentorship. It is very, very important, either by distance or by reading their books or by constantly engaging with them. It will actually help to reshape your career.
Thank you very much for that, Kelechi. So, Ulan, thank you very much for your time, Kelechi. Appreciate the insights that you shared and the novelty of what's coming next as well. I think a lot of people have thought about this or heard about this in different ways, but I hope your approach to bringing it to light will also connect with some people and prepare them for the future and to help them make decisions in their next in their coming tasks and their coming choices. So thank you very much for your time, Kelechi, and hopefully this will be, we'll be able to have you back on in the future for us to carry on this conversation.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure to actually, engage with your audience once again. And perhaps currently I'm mentoring about four biomedical laboratory scientists. Currently, three are still in school, in university, and one is already in practice at the moment. So It will be an honor to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.